Every move stokes the flame. Unyielding, unbroken, proud. To the end, they'll stand unbound. Eyes of steel, hearts of fire. In the ring, raw desire. Lines are drawn, no retreat. Warriors clash, victory sweet.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, how's it going since we last talked? WrestleMania now is behind us, almost 2 weeks, and we have a show right in front of us here. You know, this is kind of crazy that Let It Ride is coming up on Saturday, May 3rd at 7 p.m. at the FSW Arena.
Yeah, we're it's a show that's focusing on the tag teams. At the last show before Mania, we had new tag team champions and a Nevada State champion crown. For the first time possibly ever, two title changes inside the FSW Arena. Transcendence is Damian Desire and Bryce Saturn, and they're going to defend the belts in the main event against former champs, Lights, Camera, Faction, Fresco, and Watson. Watson's been on a journey in the singles division, doing quite well for himself, but him and Fresco looking to regain the tag titles. The Suavecitos make their return. It's been crazy, but it's been over a year. And in that time, they, you know, West Coast Pro tag champs, and they've really been, you know, doing big things in on the West Coast. So they're coming home to take on the Mariachis, Mariachi Montaña, who, you know, claimed to be the self-proclaimed greatest Mexican tag team to come out of FSW. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, two totally different teams. The dynamic Mariachis, they're big bruising guys, the Suavecitos, you know, they'll do whatever it takes to win a match. And, it's, you know, you talk about contrast in styles. Interesting to see what's going on there. And then the Po' Boys, which is Jimmy Jack and Chase Bell. Chase wrestled at Future Shock, but this is the first time they've been back together. Chase was out for close to a year with an injury. So Sky High and Jimmy Jack and Chase Bell, they used to be best buds. So it's interesting to see with the recent turnabouts of Sky High, which has been over a few months, but we haven't seen Chase Bell at all. You know, he's done some commentary here and there. Duke Lawrence will be here defending the Nevada State Championship. MK obviously will be on hand. The big question is, what is MK's relationship with Damian Desire and Bryce Saturn? Because he was a major factor in helping those guys win the tag team titles. So, you know, three big tag team matches. You got everybody's favorite wrestler, formerly exciting, but now just Evan Daniels going one-on-one with Bodie. And, you know, this is a really good match.
Yeah, and Evan just captured a title in Marquez's promotion. So he's got a title in the United Wrestling
And Network. So does Bodie just won a title.
Exactly.
In one of the best matches I've seen at the FSW Arena in a while. The new future legend men's champion.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you know, again, you look at even though the age is a little different, right? Evan and Bodie pretty much have similar amounts of experience in terms of their, you know, the years they've been at it, which is incredible to think of, since they're still both
really young guys. It's crazy that this is the first time that they're really getting a chance to one-on-one cross paths, and both after winning championships within the last 2 weeks. So great match there. The question I have on the Suavecitos, like, do they let you know when they get out of prison and that's when they come back, or?
Yeah, we've been in talks.
we've talked about them for years in terms of, their path and where they saw themselves, but the reality versus what was in their minds at the time. And now what you see them in terms of how they've accomplished what they've been able to over the past, 3 years or so. Does that just happen sometimes where you see the talent, you identify the possibility of where these guys can go, but it really lies upon them for that moment when it starts clicking in their minds and they realize, ah, yes, okay, we need to now kind of focus our minds this way. And then that's when all the pieces start coming together. Is it almost like a puzzle piece that they solved that final puzzle piece to, propel them to where they are now, because they're doing a hell of a job across, the West Coast, and have legitimately one of the best gimmicks going, for, two guys who, could be a pain in your ass sometimes, or at least one of the two guys.
Well, this is where generally the disconnect happens, because they're rising, so they're happy for every opportunity. Then there becomes a point where they feel they're here and they're treated like they're here. And the thing is, in most cases, this is where they're really at. I'm usually a pretty good person in figuring out where you're at in the mix of the other tag teams, other wrestlers, where your character's developed, where your match, where your work rate is. And once you start getting the accolades, then all of a sudden other people start piling on and telling you how great you are. And, oh, I can't believe you ain't getting this at FSW. And I can't believe you ain't getting that. Look what they're giving you over there. And, I try to give the explanation. And unfortunately, sometimes it goes over the heads. And it's like, you can go wrestle in town and you can go wrestle in some places. And generally, if you're a guy that I'm using, you might be the third, fourth, fifth best tag team. But in a lot of other places that doesn't have that much talent, you're going to be the number one, number two. So you're going to come in and you're going to be put in a big situation. It's the same thing with the Mariachis, and it's the same thing with a lot of these teams, the Po Boys and Sky High for a while until they broke through. Our top tag teams were guys like the Whirlwind Gentlemen, were Real Money Brothers, were Death Proof, guys who've been doing it for years and years and years. And now these guys who are getting, a lot of love, and they're in their third year, their fourth year, they think, oh, sky's the limit. What the fuck? Joe don't want to push us. We're better than what they're giving us. And it's like, yeah, maybe over there you're their number one tag team. I don't care what you are over there. I'm caring what you are over here. You're not a fully developed unit yet. It takes more than 20 matches to become a really good tag team. Royce and Jarrell, they took a little bit of time, but once they started cooking, there was no stopping them. And, and you've seen it with that, and it's Class and Devin Reno and Lights, Camera, Faction. Once they figured out it'll be Fresco and Watson, and for a while Ice and Braxton tried doing it, and it isn't easy to just gel. You're throwing away everything you've done as singles guys to now work together as a team. You know, you're selfish. Ice was the heavyweight champion to now have to step down. Shogun and Hero, it took some time for them to develop. But I saw things in them and the unguided. You know, you look at these teams that once they started gelling, those were the guys the Suavecitos had to deal with. Because I remember a match with them with TBD, and it wasn't pretty. You know, it was a difficult scenario of what you're trying to do. Because you have undersized heels against two monster baby faces. Where in wrestling, it's really good to see those two undersized baby faces trying to fight up to have something constructive with monster heels. You know what I mean? It was a different scenario. So, unfortunately, the match didn't work too well for the Suavecitos because they went in there. You didn't get sympathy because they wanted to see you get your ass beat. You weren't fighting from underneath where there was that hope spot that the crowd was getting behind. So, you know, fortunately for them, that might have been a low point, but then all of a sudden, you know, they've been put in that good situation. And, you know, they got their feet wet. They got in good positions. So, okay. They got liked by Chris Hero a lot. So they got some love at West Coast Pro, then doing the whole West Coast scene. And, you know, contrary to what people believe, there was tension. There was tension from the beginning. So it isn't like, oh, yeah, Joe doesn't like them, so they're not booked anymore. It just didn't work out. We had tension when they were booked. So, you know, they're two young, cocky kids who, by the way, I put together because I felt they would mesh. And again, that was another team that they weren't two brothers that, like Mariachis, I can't take no credit for putting them together. I can take credit that they were the two brothers. And it was like, okay, well, this makes sense. We put them together. Right. Sky High's two brothers, they were Sky High before I met them.
Right.
You know, Class and Reno, you know, two stepbrothers, you know. But the Suavecitos were two young kids kind of going up and seeing the natural chemistry and things like that. You know, you thought, hey, this might be a pairing that can work. Initially, they were kind of brought in to get exposure, get experience, get matches, get their ass whooped. You know, I remember talking when they were like complaining because they were like 0-12 or something like that, you know, and it's like, yeah, you're 0-12. Be grateful you got 12 matches, motherfuckers, you know, because if you were singles guys, again, it might have been hard for me to get you those 12 matches.
Yeah.
But they took what they got. They worked together and now they're making money as a tag team. Thanks to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, instead of coming back with the chip on their shoulder, it should be, man, Joe was right all along. But you're never going to hear that from those motherfuckers. But I'm not going to be dumb enough not to use a tag team that's doing really good things that live here and want to be a part of something. Right. You know, until somebody does really bad business with you, just because we have differences of philosophies, that doesn't stop me from using anybody. Right. And, you know, it isn't like I hang out with all these guys that I like. I'm friendlier with them. I might have more conversations with them. But, you know, I'm about to be 60 years old. I doubt these 26-year-olds feel like hanging out with Joe, being probably the coolest 60-year-old they ever met. and it's such a wealth of knowledge. But other than that, it isn't like, hey, Joe, you want to go hang out at the club tonight?
I mean, you didn't even get that love from Cross when he was in town. So
no, I'll tell you what, you know, Sally did. Paulie Clover did. Remy Marcel did. I'm just waiting for the documentary. It keeps talking about FSW Vegas. You know, I'm still mad I didn't get to write the foreword for his book. A little perturbed.
Hey, well, you know, like he said, you are in it. So at least you made the cut, right?
That was a no-brainer. If you're going to talk about FSW, I better be in it.
Well, at least you're not in the second book, which is going to be the book about all the funerals and stuff. So let's look on the bright side. Well,
yeah, hopefully not. Who knows when the second book's coming out?
You know, when you look at Duke, it's interesting because as someone who has to put together now the idea of where that title goes and how a story plays out with a guy that size, you know, how do you look at the pieces and go, okay, this is how we continue to build them without him taking steps back, and also how to, you know, keep that heat on someone, because it's kind of hard in this day and age when you have someone that big and that dominant. You know that at some point the fans are going to want to get behind that, especially when you have someone like MK involved, and you know, every good heel becomes a hero by turning on the dastardly manager. We've seen that for years and years and years. So how do you come up with that idea of where this arc goes for someone who is immensely unique in just his size and his attributes, and the growth that he's had over the last 2 years has been incredible to see.
Well, I think that's where you hit the nail on the head, that, you know, his growth, you know, he's a guy that has barely scratched the surface.
Right.
So there's a lot to be told, you know, as big as a Duke is, a guy like Shogun and Hero did some stuff in the tag division with Duke and Koa.
Yeah.
But the reason Duke was in a tag team with Koa was because Duke was lacking tons of experience. So he really didn't know what to do with his size. Because you could look at some stuff, and I remember because he trained elsewhere in town. Right. And I remember him having a match with the guy who trained with us a little bit, had a couple matches, Principe Leon, for example. They're very, very good friends. Okay, I'll open the box a little on that. So, you know, I'm looking at Duke, and he was coming by every few weeks, maybe for a day of training, not much, here and there. And I caught wind of a match that he had with Principe Leon, who is a lucha guy, you know, 180, 190 pounds, I guess, maybe. Duke's 400 pounds. And he's presented in a way that it took him over 12 minutes to beat that wrestler. And it's like, A, he's a very inexperienced wrestler. Going 12 minutes to me is way too much. And B, with such a size difference, you didn't make him look good. You brought him down to the other guy. So in turn, you made the other guy look way stronger because he went 12 minutes with this big monster, because physically you're going to look at this guy and be like, holy shit, this is a big motherfucker. And at the end of the day, you're going to be like, holy shit, that little guy hung with him. Now you're talking about the other guy instead of the guy you should be talking about. And then once Duke kind of became a person that would be around more, I could trust him. Because initially, the idea was for him to be part of the MK Army. And he didn't make a show here, and he didn't make a show there. And there was a guy from California, he worked for Knox Pro, and he was an MMA guy. I kind of forgot his name. But if you go back to watching the Return of Graves at the Rumble match, he kind of, let's say, went off script, and it got a little heated between him and the guy. But the guy was very, very green. But he was a little more responsible, and he was around when we needed him. And after he kind of got written off, and then now we're talking a year later. Like, this stuff with Duke could have happened a lot sooner. So then we needed somebody. He was there. He was a big body, and that's what was a big thing. You know, you talk about charisma. You talk about personality. AJ Manna, there you go. You know, and they were more of a Future Shock team because, remember, MK had Toa Leona and Juicy as tag champions. So now, after Toa left, it was kind of like, okay, rebuild mode. So we were trying to get something for MK, who's always around, you know, a loyal soldier that you want to make sure you got something for. You know, one of the most helpful guys around. So Duke didn't work out. So I was like, yeah, fuck that motherfucker. We got to move on, you know, next man up. And when he finally came around, he kind of got put into the mix. And, you know, we kept him strong. You know, Koa was a trooper. You know, he had to take the beatings because it was Duke. And then at that point, we saw what he was doing in the single stuff and people reacting. And even if it was beating up Ref Tom, you know, everybody loves to see Ref Tom get beat up. All of a sudden, we're like, oh, shit, Tom just made Duke a babyface.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like it's a very slippery slope in that manner. But hopefully the story we present with MK, who's going to get him heat, you know, gets to the point of the payoff that we're looking for down the road. But right now we're such in the early stages that Duke is going to basically take on people that we hope the fans like.
Sure.
And if some guy beats up a guy you like, you're hopefully going to boo the guy. So, you know, stories are what makes FSW what it is compared to a lot of other companies in the region and the West Coast. You know, there's always a story. You got the Ice Williams, got a story with Danny Limelight, you know, that's been tried and true. And Sky High had a story with Makeshift Chemistry. And, you know, you're continually trying to build different stories because that's what's going to make the fans come to 3 or 4 out of every 5 shows. Instead of, oh, yeah, that's a cool match, I'll come to it. Oh, yeah, that's a good match, I'll come to it. But if you're engaged in the story that we can pay off at a casino show, like for the anniversary, you know, Danny Limelight's our champ. Is he not going to be here until the anniversary? Of course he's going to be here. But the match with Ice Williams and how we get there and what it's going to be is going to be at the anniversary show.
Right.
You know, Brittany Brooks won the number one contendership. Zamaya fucked up Maserati and cost her the match. Not that Zamaya was helping Brittany Brooks. She was just pissed off. And the first person she gets hit, the referee has to disqualify. Maz just got laid out.
Yeah.
I mean, Brittany Brooks got laid out. So Maz had to get disqualified. So we know there's unfinished business with Maz and Zamaya. We know that Brittany Brooks is now in line to wrestle Gypsy Mac. okay, right. We got that. And now we got the tag team division and building back the teams. You got the Suavecitos back in, Reno and Class, they'll be back. You know, there's a lot of good tag teams. And getting the Suavecitos in the mix. And the Mariachis, they're that rising team. You know, Makeshift has the injury. Fox is going to be out a while. AJ's got to handle some issues, some health issues he has. So right now, Makeshift, they're taken off the board. And now it's like, oh, okay, well, Jimmy Jack's been kind of languishing. Well, they had some success with him and Chase Bell, who's now cleared. And hopefully Chase got the rust out from the shit fest he had at Future Shock with Colin Muldoon. You know, because that wasn't a great match. But I know what Chase Bell's capable of doing. So, okay, you know, get back on the horse and let's get a good match on Saturday. If you don't, well, not much I can tell you. Even on Future Shock, it looks like Davion and Demir, the Killer D's, have kind of imploded. We'll find out on May 17th at Future Shock what the story is with them. So a lot of the main things, Dante King, he won't be on the May 3rd show, but who is going to be in line to wrestle for the No Limits Championship? These are opportunities. Some of the younger guys or a Bodie or whoever else or a Colin Muldoon or some of these younger guys want to get on the radar. They got to put some W's together because at the anniversary show, I expect Dante King to have a match. Unless he has a match May 31st, because he will have a match May 31st. And we've already signed it. So I'll announce it. May 31st, Dante King defends the No Limits title. Bret the Threat.
Oh.
So, you know, that's going to be a match. Bret, you know, seen him. He came in Mania weekend. We all know he moved away. He was here Mania week, worked a couple of shows at the arena, but he trained a couple of times. He was at the Gabe Sapolsky seminar and made it known that, hey, put me in, coach. Just because I'm a few hours away don't mean I don't want to be a part of FSW. So, you know, he's trying to take advantage of an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, that's interesting you said that, because I think that one thing you look at Bret over the last 6 to 8 months or so, you've been seeing that Bret is trying to take advantage of every opportunity he's been given, and he really is, you know, using his opportunities now outside of Vegas, you know, having moved, like you said, to really start to grow, I think, into what that character is. And, you know, not just relying on the style, but being comfortable in who he is now to up that game. You know, you start seeing that Bret is a professional wrestler now, you know?
And that situation, even though we kind of lost him, it was a good thing for him. Because pretty much FSW was all he knew. And when he feels he wasn't getting opportunities and all the other stuff, now when he comes back, he sees how good he had it. And he sees that he probably wasn't ready. And the training that he got at FSW and the people he worked with at FSW, when he went to the other places, he became far more advanced than if he wasn't in FSW. And I think, again, another one who won't maybe say it too often, but knows that his development in FSW was done well. You know, he got a chance to grow. He got a chance to wrestle the best of the best, even when he thought he was good enough, but really wasn't, and realizes when he wrestled a Sharp or a Vandegrift or whoever he wrestled, that he was in a learning process. He was trying to get to their level. And now when he goes and wrestles these guys that may have a couple of more years on him, he realizes he's as good or better than them because he was in an atmosphere. Because I don't care how good you are, okay? The bottom line is there's a lot of guys who went through the wrestling school, whatever, and they're good, but they didn't have a place that they could go to 2-3 days a week and train. Right. You know, maybe that's why the guys at Santino are better than a lot of the guys in SoCal, because you can see Eli Everfly and Lucas Riley and all these other cats, Dominic Kubrick, and whether we use them or not, you could see these Santino guys when Eli or another guy is posting videos of stuff at the school, those guys are there, which yep. means they're taking advantage of that opportunity. There's a lot of guys who went to a school. Hey, maybe they go to the New Japan Dojo, but they're out of NorCal. So now they're in NorCal. Unless they wrestle a show, there's really not a training facility that they're attached to that maybe they can go to. So they're not right. able to work on the little things. All they do is get match after match after match. And that's what disappoints me with a lot of the advanced guys who are on the roster. And we talk about, hey, Dante King and Gypsy and Matt and Damian Drake when Jay Vidal was here and Lacey Ryan and all the other stuff that they didn't necessarily come in as Matt knows. We got the Luchas at three. Hey, can you open up at one for me? And, you know, he was training with Oasis last week or he was training with somebody else and he had cheerleader Melissa on hand and Zoe Stark was there on Wednesday with Matt. So he's always getting in the work. And Britt was a guy who he would be in a class and train. Hey, Kenny's here. There's Britt. Last week I saw him. You know, Ice was around and it was Kenny's day. And Kenny was going to do Future Shock because the younger guys. And it turned out the younger guys were so tired from all the work they had to get from walking in and out of Allegiant Stadium for the WrestleMania show that they went to watch, that they couldn't train all of last week. But there was Ice Williams. There was Bret the Threat. There was Fresco. There was all these guys at training on Wednesday that actually wrestled on shows. Mind-boggling. Because these guys, when Fresco looks, it's like, fuck. There's Ice and there's Brett. I can't fucking be lackadaisical.
Nope.
These guys are at a level. Braxton wants to be where Ice is with the ID, as does Fresco, as does Watson.
Yep.
As does Brett the Threat, who was in, you know, all these guys, they were in the seminar. Starboy Charlie was in the WWE, you know, Gabe Sapolsky tryout.
Yeah.
Wasn't content with being a name guy on the West Coast, the one guy that GCW uses all over and flies him to wherever because they love Starboy Charlie there. Starboy Charlie's dream is to be the biggest superstar he can, and everybody knows WWE is that opportunity.
Right.
So they're there. We had a couple of young guys, Deshaun and Jazeer, never had a match yet. But because Deshaun did so well in the tryout match, that was only 3 minutes, with Jazeer, who's never had a match. Jazeer's still a little rough around the edges, but he's getting there. Deshaun will get a match at Future Shock on the 17th.
Nice. Yeah.
You know, he earned a shot because of what – because generally I don't see. I'm waiting on my trainers to tell me. But I saw him. Gabe was sitting right next to me and like, holy shit, you haven't had a match yet? Usually I don't really critique anything, but man, keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. And that's always the sign because it's the FSW guys that are keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in the magic water here in Vegas with the training. Because, you know, you would think a good trainer there is a good trainer here, but somehow the FSW guys stand out, which is crazy being how so delusional some of them are and so unhelpful some of them are. that they're actually able to absorb shit in their fucking head when a Kenny, Sin, Remy, TJP, Bateman, Cody say to them.
Well, and also I think, you know, you mentioned all those names. One of the reasons that you've seen, you know, fascinating thing, go back and watch guys like Fresco and Watson, watch Ice, you know, in 2019, watch these guys and realize the difference between the where they were and where they could have stayed to where they are now. And I think that's the important thing. I think that all these guys, they see the hunger.
Look at Fresco when he started and they had some success at Big Valley with Ricky or whatever, you know, Fresco's partner, Mondo De Niro. And, you know, he's gone on to a very successful Pitbull imitation career, but not in the wrestling world. And the thing with Mondo is I remember, and we were outside in the back alley, and I'm not sure if that was the show he did, but he was like, hey, bro, you know, you got to give me the mic. And I give him the mic, and he shit the fucking bed. Is what it was. You know, I wanted the opportunity. But I remember, and it was like, listen, motherfucker, I don't give a shit what you're doing at that place, okay? You might be the big tag team there. You guys are green as fuck, and you're not fucking good, okay? You're getting an opportunity. You got to impress me. I don't give a shit that you're their tag team champions. And your job here is you're a fucking heel. You have a manager, you idiot, and you're trying to babyface it up. That's the number one way of making sure I don't book you. And I'm pretty sure he kind of quit right after that because I'd used him a few different times. And they ended up moving away or whatever. But Fresco was right there when I was drilling because it was more aimed at the other guy than Fresco. Right. But he had to pick it up because you're not given something. And that's also the problem sometimes in some of the other places because you're going to work their show. They're going to give you opportunities whether you've really earned them or not. Right. And, you know, hey, bro, if you're not good enough to get a match at Future Shock, you shouldn't be wrestling on a show. But, you know, somebody's offering you 10 or 20 bucks. See, I'm good enough to be on the show. And it's like, yeah, no, you're not. Okay. When none of my trainers have put you over for a match, I think they know more than some other guy who doesn't see you ever train.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, everybody has an ego to fill and they have to believe that it isn't, I'm not good enough. I'm not working hard enough. It's Joe doesn't like me. Joe has his favorites. You know, go ask Jay Vidal when he was Jaden Ridden, the EDC shit character he had. I knew he was good, but the character was the shits.
Yeah.
And I remember I gave him a match, and it was, I believe, the last Beers and Body Slams Body Slam show we did down on Fremont. And it was a Bateman and Cross in a casket match. And it was Douglas James versus now Jay Vidal. And they had a really good match. And it was like, yeah, I know you can work. But you're getting in your own way because you got the physical tools. And then he left, the pandemic hit, whatever. He came back and then, you know, he had different ideas. Then he was Jay Vidal and things became a lot easier. But because, again, he was pigeonholed and this is what he thought and he was young. Hey, this is a cool gimmick. It's terrible. And that's what happens with everybody. That they have to go through those growing pains.
Right.
And, you know, hopefully stuff, it isn't, I'm telling you something and you listen. It's almost like it has to permeate through you. It's like, it's almost like a shot to the head. Oh, he said this. Oh, that guy said this. This guy said that. Where it finally starts to resonate.
Right.
Because there's the stubbornness of thinking you know everything. Or, hey, Gangrel may have said this to Jay Vidal. And it didn't mean 100%. He's giving him thoughts of what he can do or whatever. But because that's his trainer initially, you know, he's going to listen to everything he says. Just like, you know, I remember Mike Modest, you know, there isn't only one way to run the rope properly.
Right.
You can do it different ways. To me, this was the easiest. It was kind of like, you know, he would teach, you know, what you can do off an arm bar or an arm lock. And there'd be 19 different things you could do. It right. isn't only one. And in wrestling, there's a lot of different things you can do that come from the same thing. And I teach it differently than you teach it. But it doesn't right. mean you're wrong and I'm right, or I'm right and you're wrong. And it's getting these younger kids. And the quicker they learn it, the quicker they can rise the ranks. And right. you know, as stubborn as a Bret the Threat may have been, as stubborn as the Suavecitos may have been, obviously enough permeated through their skulls because they're getting a lot of bookings and they're being very successful outside. A lot of them are more successful than they were with us because yeah. with us, they're still here. But we have 6 Jay Vidals and the Matt Vandergriffs and the right. Damian Drakes and the Ice Williams and the Danny Limelights and the Hammerstones and the Bays and the Graves. So, you know, you might be number 16 on my list, but you're number 3 over there or number 6 over there. In most cases, you will be because most shows don't book as many good wrestlers on it than we do.
Right.
So... Well, but it's frustrating to them.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things too, where what's very interesting about wrestling is the fact that there are so many good wrestlers, right? But one of the reasons that it's hard to break into that next echelon and then the next echelon and the next echelon, climbing that ladder, is because you really do have to be able to find who that character is, right? And then you just said it. There's 19 different ways to do things out of a wrist lock. There's different ways to run the rope. There's different things that you can do that what you have to find is how you do that as your character. So not only are we talking promos, we're also talking about what makes sense in the ring to do. For instance, if you're a body guy, yeah, you're going to want to have a headlock in, and you know, you want to show those muscles. You want to highlight the body. If you're a Duke Lawrence, you want to work big. You want to look like a monster every time so that you're not putting the other guy over yourself, because that's how you should be working. So when you start finding that stuff, and when you have the mic skills, that's when you start seeing, you know, the Ice Williams elevate, right? And I think that's the key to everything, is that you can't just think about one component. You have to think about the being a 5-tool player, you know, as we like to go baseball a lot. You know, if you can be that 5-tool player, you can step into any situation. You know your character, you know your confidence. You can go over there, or stay here, and you're plugging your character in, as opposed to you're just going there and you're wrestling a match. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing, is how do you continue to grow and keep that character growing and find that character. And it, let's say Damian Drake, great example of someone who has gone through so many incarnations. When him and Matt come together, they know what the Unguided is. and they can go anywhere and win a tag team championship as the Unguided because they're comfortable in that thing. But as a singles, now Damian is finally finding that character he is, which, you know, takes a long journey sometimes when you're doing the two different things. Matt's a great
example. Yeah, because you're starting at zero again.
Yeah.
Normally, you start at zero very young in your career, and you kind of get to different levels. And then when you decide to change, you're already here.
Right.
While the Damian Drake thing was, factory reset.
Yep.
The Dancing Fool, factory reset. But the Unguided are two guys that went against the grain, even though they didn't wrestle much. When they do wrestle, they don't miss a beat, because whether they've had their ups and downs, brothers fight, whatever, you saw them in the match with the Rascals in the four-way. Tremendous.
Yeah.
I talk about the six-man tag that they had with Bodie at FSW GCW 2. Fantastic. Yep. And it's like, well, guys, you know, conversations are had. And it's like, you know, everybody's had their success, but you have to do what is the most successful for you. You know, the old saying, shit or get off the pot. You know what I mean? It is what it is, because they're all watching these days now. You know, yeah. Gabe has the fast track to watch anything we do whenever we do. Hey, Gabe, you need to check out that four-way. Oh, yeah, send me the link. I got to check it out. Okay, well, Bryce Saturn, he was at the seminar. Yep. Bodie was at the seminar. Matt's doing the New Japan stuff. Marcus Mathers is part of the ID program. So it's guys he's semi-invested in already. Of course he wants to watch a good wrestling match. Gabe's like me. Yeah, good match. Where is it? Let me check it out. We spend so much time watching shitty fucking matches.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to, hey, wow, this is a real banger. Not the one that a guy on Facebook is telling you he had that was a banger that he doesn't even know what that word fucking means.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and they'll show you clips, and some of the clips aren't even that good. How do you show a clip and it isn't even that good? Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah. I mean, and again, that's, you know, That's the whole idea of, you know, putting things together, you know, and understanding that your level raises because others are raising their level. And I think when you truly are able to, the best people are the ones who can take part in themselves, put it into the character, and grow that character. Obviously, we've talked about Cross on no end. And, you know, the idea that Kevin brings part of who Kevin Cross is to his work is one of the biggest reasons that that guy is successful. And I think
look at what happened, you know, as we talked last week. Okay, well, AJ said, maybe you should do it yourself. And immediately Logan Paul's thrown into a feud with Jey Uso. So he is just, you know, he's that mouse on the wheel. Like,
yeah.
I always fantasy book, obviously. And it's like, okay, well, my thought process is he literally has to fuck Logan Paul in the Jey Uso match for it to mean something for Cross, because that's the only way Cross can get at Logan Paul now.
Right.
Is by him being that fucking nuisance. And I, there's no way in this fucking world that I'm letting you become the fucking heavyweight champion. Because instead of having Logan Paul and cross and we continue that, they've already detoured. Just like the AJ Styles. I don't want to see him in AJ Styles anymore.
Right.
He destroyed him. He beat him in the match. Okay, Kev put his head in behind the thing. Great, great, awesome. But literally 30 seconds later, he laid him out again when Cross was standing behind him and AJ had his back turned. Then at Mania, he didn't take the help. Whatever. Then they talk to him again. Do it yourself. Whatever. Then the Logan Paul thing happens with Jey Uso, and now he's back to talking to Sami Zayn. Well, Sami Zayn's getting involved with, you know, Seth Rollins and that crew. It's like, how about Cross gets involved with somebody and it leads to something with him and that person? Like, I don't understand what they're doing. You know, it's like, okay, awesome. Giving them TV time. But if the TV time leads to just another vignette, hey, and now next week he's going to talk to Austin Theory and about how he's fucking fallen from grace. Shit, at least Cross is on TV. Austin Theory, wow. He beat John Cena. He beat the heavyweight champion a couple years ago at WrestleMania. Yeah. And what we thought was his last match.
Right. Well, but I think, you know, but it goes to show again that realistically, if Kevin didn't know who that character was, maybe the creative doesn't necessarily know, or maybe we haven't seen the curtain yet, reveal yet, what the big reveal is of it all. But the idea that if he didn't know who he was, he wouldn't be with the company anymore, right? He probably would have been released. So it shows that knowing that character, knowing who you are, along with who you are as a person, then keeps you in at least that opportunity to still be working and have, you know, that potential there for something when you're not necessarily, you know, the main eventer or not being used as, you know, as like Chad Gable is a great example of a guy who's, you know, been pushed in so many different ways that didn't fit him. And now, because they finally found what works, you know, they're able to go with it. So it's just interesting of,
you what
know,
do you mean? I haven't seen Chad Gable in a couple months.
Well, he's been on TV.
Well, he's been on TV working with his guys, but Chad Gable hasn't had a match in a while.
Yeah, well, but you know, I mean, but he is definitely teaching those guys and he's definitely a good manager. I know they've essentially brought in some luchador or something to
kind of took his spot. Down.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and his tattoos, which is amazing.
No. Yeah. Kind of like we didn't know Elias had a brother, a twin brother.
Yeah. And it was LA Knight. I can't believe that Ricker was Ezekiel.
Pulled that off.
It was a great meme of Ricker's characters, and then one of them is Ezekiel before he becomes LA Knight, which would just
little known fact. The internet never lies.
You know, when you look at what's coming up, like you said, the anniversary show is going to be coming up in June.
We already got the contract. Can you believe it? I'm slow on it. I'm like, Mikey, we need to get some shit out. I'll put it on the marquee early. Let's go.
Wow. So there aren't that many cover bands apparently available for June.
Well, if they are, the Silverton will be the first one to find them.
Oh, man. Still pissed that Silverton didn't offer me free tickets for Foghat this past weekend.
That's funny. I did.
Oh, really?
And the only time I played was the day I picked up my check. I think I won like $100 and I wasn't there more than an hour. No, I won like $300. I was playing hot roll and I got like 5 threes on the bonus deuces or something.
Oh, nice. That's not a bad little extra on top of the check, right?
Yeah. Well, hey. Unfortunately, I had to turn over the whole check. It was for the benefit show. So, but hey, well, I made something going there to pick up the check.
I was going to say, at least you didn't hand over the extra 300 as well.
Well, thank goodness I didn't blow the check money. You know what I mean? Hey, sorry, Chris, there was an issue.
I put it all on black.
So yeah.
I figured I'd make it double. I'm sorry.
I was trying, you know. I wanted to make a little few dollars.
Oh man. So you know, when you look at this buildup, especially, you know, the anniversary show, you know, usually gets a really nice crowd. There's a lot of hype going into it. And right now you have set pretty much a big match between Danny, who is, you know, I think one of the best. I saw someone post something where the question was name indie guys who are the best promos. And someone pointed out Danny as one of those guys. He's one of the best at getting heat. People hate him. And Ice is obviously beloved. So you have a natural, you know, story in their personalities, in the way they work, in their history. You know, this could be one of the bigger highlighted matches, I think, this year. If the two of them are, you know, on the same page on what they're trying to achieve, and good exposure for Danny too, apparently, you know, with the possibility of this being something that the WWE ID talent, you know, might get a little push in front of eyes. You know, for someone as Danny's had, and a matter of time before someone, you know, realizes, hey, it's time to give this guy a chance.
Well, I heard some news from Danny that he was picked up for the TNA loop that they did, I believe, last weekend in L.A.
In L.A.?
So that's a positive sign, because that means he's getting an opportunity. And I think that's all he's asked for. But the thing is, Danny will also tell you that he was his own worst enemy at times. So, unfortunately, this business is very, very, I guess the word is, you know, they have a long memory sometimes.
Yeah.
And in his situation, it was nothing that was like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that. But just young and dumb type of thing. And, you know, ask around. You know, I try to tell D'Lo, I'm like, hey, you know, and he said, you know, there's a rep about him out there. Because I told him, I'm like, man, you know, check out him and Santana. You can't tell, hey, one's a top guy in TNA and the other has no contract. You can't differentiate the two. You know, and you can argue that Danny's better on the microphone and has a personality. So I get it. Unfortunately, sometimes those decisions you make or those past Twitter posts from 8 years ago, they catch up to you. You know, as great as social media is in getting the word out about the hot new commodity and all the other stuff, man, if you were dumb and did some stupid shit, no matter what you erase, it's going to find you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, and also you do have those, like Wentz is a great example of someone who, you know, lost his job and, you know, built himself back up and look at the position he's in now. So,
well, but the thing with Wentz was he was a mainstay in TNA before. And that's where he went back to. Once he was kind of cleared of everything.
Right. That's the big
thing. TNA pounced on him because obviously for the years, plural, that he worked with them, obviously he was a model employee. So right. When they felt it was perfect timing, kind of like, you know, goes to show, you know, Dreamer comments about something that Flair did, nothing that Dreamer did. And he had to get taken off TNA for a little while because of the heat that came up because, you know, Dreamer kind of made light of that situation. Yep. Now, I don't know all the facts, but from what I understood, somebody accepted a payment for an NDA to keep quiet or whatever. They accepted the money, but now it was okay that they took the money and accepted the agreement, but then broke the agreement. And I think that's what Dreamer had made reference to. He didn't make reference to what Flair did wasn't wrong or anything like that, you know. And I think it's the same situation where a lot of people with Vince McMahon in that situation where the person took the money. And as we all know, we have friends. To us, they're still our friends. You may distance yourself, but you never saw the side of the person that maybe they were. And they did good things for you. And it's hard for you to differentiate. The Undertaker, John Cena, they wouldn't be multimillionaires if it wasn't for Vince McMahon. Nah. And they saw so many of the good things that he did. They're not condoning anything he did, but they're also not, I will never talk to this person again. Fuck him, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't argue right, wrong, indifferent because we all don't know any of the facts. We've all had situations where it's like, oh, man, you know, I heard this, you know. I talked to somebody who was involved in the cancel culture type thing at one of the shows who happened to be wrestling on one of the shows. Right. And I talked to him and I'm like, well, seems like a really cool dude to me. And I also heard from somebody else who I'm very close to who worked with this person. And he told me a different side of that story that made a lot of sense. So where in truth lies, you know, it's funny because, oh, two sides to every story. No, Extreme said it best. Three sides to every story, mine, yours, and the real story. Because there's stuff that has a lot of truth in my story. There's a lot of truth in your story, but not everybody knows every little intricacy. And that's why Conan will use an Alberto Del Rio. He'll use a Marty Scurll because he wasn't there. Accusations are thrown everywhere. Nobody was tried under a court of law. You know, Mike Tyson was convicted, went to jail. But all the people that talk about people, if Mike Tyson walks into that locker room, I can't tell you one person who's going to be like, yeah, fuck that motherfucker. He's a piece of shit. They're going to be hugging Mike Tyson. Oh, it's great to meet you. So, you know, that's why it's like I see these beefs. I see the shit on it in the internet or Facebook. And it's like, you want to comment. But if you comment, it's like, oh, well, you're taking that person's side. I had to deal with it with the Douglas James situation.
Yeah, right.
I was the guy who brought him back. And there was people who talked shit. And again, there were some people who talked shit. who didn't like me because I never wanted to book them because I didn't think they were good enough. Is that the reason? I don't know, but it could be.
Yeah.
Because I told my side of the story. We had Doug on here. He told his side of the story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now it's 2 years later, and we have not heard anything negative about anything that's happened in Doug's life since 2019. This is six years later. And a guy who came back had no issues. A few people had beef. A lot of people didn't have beef.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, so he just apologizes, gets help, and we're supposed to forgive him? You forgive, but you don't forget. You never forget. If anything minor, similar to that comes, the guy's done. But when somebody's squeaky clean, he's paid for the sins. We're assuming that's what you do when you have penance and you go to get help and you keep your nose clean for 5 years after. Because as we all know, when it came out, it was something that happened 2 years ago that he had reached out to, you know, try to better himself.
Right.
And it's like, you know, in this world of, oh, second chances, and everybody should be forgiving, most of these people aren't.
Yeah.
And it's too bad because, you know, people get run out of things based off some mistakes. There have been some that have been accused that later on have come out that were totally false.
Yeah.
You know, and they lost out. Here's a guy who said, you know what? It's not totally false. I take responsibility for my actions. I'm going to get help. I'm going to keep my nose clean. And everything he said that he was going to do, he did. But still people had issues. Now, of course, people that are on the other side and they're friends with the other side, they're going to hear one side of the story.
Right.
The other guy's going to tell you his side. What happened in between that this person left out, that person left out? We weren't there. We don't know. We can only go based on somebody's actions moving forward.
So I think we just, I think you just announced that Douglas James at the anniversary show, right? That's what I'm getting.
I think Doug's long past it, unfortunately, but I thought that before when I reached out to him.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Oh boy. Oh boy. when he gets that message later on today, hey, just want to see how you're doing. And have you been rolling around recently?
Yeah, I haven't really even noticed him on Facebook of recent. No. So I hope he's doing good.
Yeah. Same here.
You know, usually he posts some stuff. I haven't noticed anything in a little bit, but you know, we've all been very busy the last few months. You know, my wife had to point out to me about the picture of Brian Cage's leg opened up on the surgery that I never even saw. So it's like, I haven't been on that often. I saw a couple pictures. I saw the one with him and Ricker, him and LA Knight, the Natural Selection reunited, but I missed, I guess, the one with him exposing his robotic leg.
Yeah, that was one of those where you're scrolling and you're like, oh man, dude.
Yeah, it's not you post a picture and then you're like, hey, you know, for those with weak weak stomachs, it's like, well, you're scrolling through. It wasn't like you made the scroll and then you had to wait and then you scrolled down half a page. It was like as you're looking at your text, the picture is right there.
Right.
And it's more than one picture, of course.
Right. I hope, I think Brian's getting that cleaned up in a little bit. You know, it's going to be a quick process for him, which is great.
Well, I heard because he told me he thought he blew out his knee and was going to be out. And then I saw a report because I haven't talked to Brian in a bit. And yeah, because he hit me up and then I called him back. And then never heard back and then got busy. But then they said something about it was a torn quad or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And the procedure went well. WrestleMania week, he was on crutches and everything, making the appearances. And
yeah, he was at, I guess him and his wife, they were hosting at Sapphire's, the WrestleMania thing they did.
Yeah. Yeah. Man,
he ain't missing those extra paydays, yo.
I was going to say, man, those WrestleMania paychecks were very apparently they are in talks. The city's in talks again with possibly getting it here within, let's see, they just announced 2031, I think was it Miami or whoever, just Orlando or something like that.
Yeah, I think Orlando.
So there are aggressive talks to try to get it here in 5 years is the latest.
I heard 3 to 5. I don't know how everything is locked in and locked out, but you know, yeah. I'd like one more Mania to be able to maximize. I've learned some things. Yep. So I really want to maximize, which might be, you know, my swan song per se. You know, if it's 5 or 6 years, you know, I'm not sure I got 10 more years of this in me, but who knows? You know, maybe 9. We cap it off for the 25th anniversary.
Well, and then, you know, then the mystery business partner, you know, continues to keep it running.
Get that highest bidder going.
Yeah. All right. Final thoughts as we wrap up this week, Joe.
Yeah, you know, we're back. We're ready to go. We got Let It Ride on this Saturday, 7 p.m. As Focused, you see three tag teams, Mariachis and the Suavecitos. We got the new champions, Saturn and Desire, taking on Lights, Camera, Faction, which they've had a match before also. Bodie's taking on Evan Daniels. The Po' Boys return. So there's a lot of new faces as they take on Sky High. Hopefully Jimmy Jack realizes that Mondo and Robbie aren't as friendly as they once were. Because, you know, Jimmy Jack can be a little naive sometimes, you know.
No, is this where we see Chase Bell turn on Jimmy and join Sky High? Oh, man.
Wow.
There is a story.
Oh. Yeah, let's get Chase back in action first.
No, I really, I'm actually looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, we got JKM's going to be there. I believe Sharp's going to be there. It's possible Ice Williams. I got to finalize the last couple matches. RJ Wild and Jaden Monroe, even though the Pretty City Express will not be here. Jaden Monroe seems to be doing some things I'm not sure that Reno and Clash are even aware of. So,
yeah,
we'll find out more on that info.
I love Jaden Monroe, man. I think that you talk about a diamond in the rough there. That kid has got a lot of potential. I think him and Colin Muldoon right now are at that, you know, at that breaking end point where you're going to see them within the next 3 years. Just
so, what are you saying? You want to see a Colin Muldoon versus Jaden Monroe pre-show match this Saturday? Is that what you're saying?
If you got it in the pocketbooks, which,
oh, for those guys, without a doubt.
Yeah, I was going to say, which shouldn't be that bad.
My empty pockets will stay empty with those guys.
Yeah, hey, that would be a great little pre-show. Yeah, man, it's exciting. I really am looking forward to seeing how the Po' Boys, you know, it's hard sometimes when, you know, you're trying to get that chemistry back. You're good friends. And, you know, not only does Chase have a lot riding on it because of what you said earlier about, you know, the singles match that he had, but this also affects Jimmy. So, you know, they really have a lot at stake here and stepping their game up. And, you know, finding that chemistry and sky high, two of the best guys to be in there with to, you know, to kind of have that, that energy going. If you come up short against sky high, then something's wrong. So it's going to be a good one. And again, Bodie and Evan Daniels, man, I got a feeling that those two are going to make a little noise. You know, I think Bodie is rolling towards his 18th birthday here on a very high note. And
Birthday's in May. What's the date? Do we know?
I forget. But it's coming up soon, man. That's probably the one show you got to add, the Bodie birthday bash celebration.
There you go. Maybe Bodie's he'll get 18th. A shot at Big Duke Lawrence. That'll be his birthday present.
I still can't wait to see that. You know, we got kind of teased on that matchup, you know, a little bit ago, and man, I think Duke could literally throw Bodie about almost into the top of the bleachers. Like, I think that you know, the way Bodie flies and the way Duke can launch someone, man.
Whew. Well, yeah, the good news is Bodie's probably got a better chance of being caught by all those fans than some of the wrestlers from what I've been hearing lately.
Oh, no shit. And kudos, I got to say, kudos to Dante King for speaking up on that. You know, sometimes, you know, guys kind of lose their nerve.
And sometimes that spot is totally unnecessary, and we've seen it 9 million times. And what does it really add sometimes? You know, you got to be aware. You know, it's like, oh, only 11 suicide dives on an 8-match card today. And none of them looked that impressive to begin with.
No, and I think even Sin, you know, pointed out that the idea of, you know, just guys standing around, A, waiting to catch, and then B, not catching. It's like, what is the point? You're not even telling a story at that point, and you're risking the other guy's, you know, potential livelihood and life. So maybe people will start wising up a little bit, but then again,
it's that's right. Just do a 4-minute chin lock. Crowd will like it just as much.
Hey, man. I got to tell you, those chin locks back in the day, some of the best, you know.
Tom Howard taught them well.
Hey, I'm telling you, psychology, Joe, psychology. That's it. All you need is a good chin lock rest hold for 5 minutes and about 30 chops. You got a golden match right there, man.
There you go. A funny bone classic right there.
Hey, he still wrestles, right?
Yes, he does.
It's not in Vegas.
World travel. You know, he started his career not in Vegas because there was no Vegas wrestling. So, you know, he made a name for himself in NorCal, and then, you know, that's his crew.
Yeah. He's always had his NorCal. It's just, you know, when you live somewhere, and you know, it's just it's so funny that he,
yeah, you know, different, you know, nothing personal, different philosophies, you know. It's what we need and what he needs. And if it doesn't match up, you know, you see him once in a while. You know, he's worked a bunch of shows over the last few years. He just didn't work one last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't make dollars that don't make sense.
Well, again, please check out this Saturday at the FSW Arena. Let It Ride starts at 7 p.m. Get there a little bit early, and hopefully you'll get a treat in the pre-show, into which I'm hoping we see a Colin Madune, Jaden Monroe fight. But, you know, we'll see what happens. So
we'll see what happens.
All right. Until next time, everyone, have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you then.